have we got a treat for you this morning. Our studio lines are full because we have quite a panel lined up for you this morning. We've been speaking with Tom Taylor, bringing his perspective on Common Core, originating in 1948, as he was put forward as the International Baccalaureate Organization, or at least the idea, approved by the UN General Assembly in 1948. We have the Reverend Ted Clater, bringing a religious perspective with the Keystone Christian Education Association. And we also have joining us this morning now Dr. Rich Kelly, who is a professor of education at Summit University, joining us with his perspective on Common Core as well. But it does not stop there. There are more. We have two more people joining us from Westmont Christian Academy, Dr. James Smock, better known as Doc, to the Westmont community. And you've been an administrator at Westmont Christian Academy since 1987. And Gail Hallman, who's also been at Westmont since 1987 and is in the administrative role of Director of Curriculum and Staff Development, all joining us on the morning, this morning, as you drive to work to talk about Common Core, what you may not know about Common Core, what can be done about it, what are some implications in different worldviews. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us. Do not feel the need to respond, because that would be five people saying thank you all at once. Now, let's first go to Dr. Rich here. You bring an interesting take, because usually what everyone says with Common Core is we don't want it, we don't need it, it needs to be gone. Now, what people would usually say is that the original purpose of Common Core was actually a good one, but that it has kind of morphed. Tell us about that, Rich. You say that it just needs to be changed, that maybe there is something salvageable, if I'm understanding you correct.
Yes. What I am saying is there are some redeeming values to it. One of the things that we have seen so far, which is a help, was that if a student was to move from Chicago to Harrisburg, that student would know that they'll be learning the same thing that they were learning in Chicago that they would be in Harrisburg. So when it first started out, that was a good thing. But now states have been dropping out of Common Core, such as Pennsylvania, who have actually embedded Common Core within their own standards because they feel that the Pennsylvania standards were higher bar. So at first, it looked like it was going to be a good thing, but then states took a look at it again and said, you know, this just isn't quite high enough. We think we're going to stay with our standards, but just make sure that the Common Core is embedded. The biggest drawback to the Common Core is that it is a one-size-fits-all. So we're expecting all students to fit within the Common Core, and that's just unreasonable.
Now, as a professor of education, when you look at Common Core at face value, as far as its educational value, is it lower on the totem pole, so to speak, or is it middle of the ground? Is it higher? Where would you say it is as far as educating our students?
Actually, I would say that the Pennsylvania state standards are higher than the Common Core.
Now, and that's where we get an interesting... That's where we get the, well, we're dropping out of Common Core, and that's where we get an interesting thought here, where Common Core is supposed to help raise education standards, or at least that is part of the pitch, if you will, and that's not exactly what we're seeing, is what you're telling me.
Right, exactly. One of the things that a drawback of the Common Core is that really, if this truly is put together to help to ensure that our students are college and career ready, one would think that high school teachers have been made part of the process, as well as those in colleges and universities, to talk about what skills are necessary, but they really weren't brought in to the discussion until after the standards were already put together. It's something is needed, but what we have in the Common Core still is not working.
And that's where the original idea of Common Core was one that a lot of people, pretty much everyone agreed on that, you know, if someone moves to a different part of the country, they should be able to learn the same amount, not lacking anything. But it has kind of morphed and developed a life of its own. Now, I want to get to everyone here. Now, I've got Dr. James Smock and Gail Hallman both joining us from Westmont Christian Academy. Now, you do not have to abide by Common Core, your religious institution or religious school. And tell me a little bit now about Westmont's philosophy as far as education is concerned, how that may relate to Common Core.
Well, Mike, our mission statement is bringing God's truth and purpose into the lives of our students. So the authority of our curriculum comes from God's word, doesn't come from any government organization, no matter what happens. Okay, so when we look at curriculum, we have to make decisions based on what will our students experience, what are they going to be facing in the future after they graduate from our institution. So when they're going into the workplace, if they're going into a higher institution of learning, are they going to be prepared? So if the trend is to use Common Core as that standard, then we're going to have to make sure that we find ourselves preparing our students for those things. Just as when we teach evolution, and I say that, we do teach evolution, but we don't teach it in the same way that maybe a public school would teach that. We teach that as a theory, okay, that is presented, and obviously then we propose that to what God's authority is in God's scripture, and therefore acknowledging what the challenge is. So we're looking to prepare our students to the best of our ability for that future, as opposed to worrying about what are the intricate details of Common Core, so to speak.
And as a private religious school, you have that right.
Correct.
To do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole argument here is being able to protect that right. Of course, the implied question is Common Core infringing on that right? Now it is not. But, you know, I take it from, you know, Dr. Rich Kelly, your comments there as far as Common Core, how it has morphed from its original purpose. Like you said, there were a lot of parts of it, like all the guidelines. You know, we didn't really have a whole lot of input as states or as parents or even educators into what it would comprise of. It was just kind of given to us and, you know, was to be accepted. So that I find troubling. Now, we are going to, I want to, Gail Hallman, who is in charge of the curriculum for Westmont Christian Academy, tell me a little bit now about, so Dr. Smock just told us about how you guys actually do teach evolution, and what we were talking about off air was that is because you want your students to be prepared when they get into a public school realm. You know, you are a private religious school. You have the right to teach what you would like to teach that's protected. Tell me about, you know, with the advent of Common Core, we talked about how there's not really a whole lot of pressure on you now, but are you seeing the rumblings of where they're, the rumblings of an imposition of something on your curriculum?
Well, Mike, I don't really see an imposition at this point. I do see, for us, it's really assessing what those standards are and then really taking a look at what that means for our students. We have the privilege of picking the things that we see that are real key, persuasive writing, debating, things that Christians need to be sound on and be ready to defend their Christian worldview, different tools that the students will need to do that. Those are the things that we look at and look at what is Common Core requiring at this point. And again, we have the privilege of not having that required. However, responsibly training our students to do things that they will need to have the skills to defend their faith in the future.
Is this something that you are preparing for as possibly coming down the road one day?
Well, I see in the way that there's a preparation, I think, for us in the Common Core that we are aware of what they are, and we are taking a look at the curriculum that is out there and available, and we are looking at what the students will need to know in the future. I don't feel that the state, education tends to be cyclical. In what happens within the educational system, and I do see that we take a look at that cyclical process, and we see that this will probably come and go again. And certainly we need to be ready to defend what we believe, and we need to be able to stand firm in the standards that we hold as a Christian school. And I think Common Core, again, as the states debate this and see their own faults, I kind of see that it will probably go, yet we need to be ready to stand firm in what we stand for.
Okay, we have about a minute left. I'm just curious. I just want to continue on that line. What do you think that'll look like in the future when you say stand firm? I mean, are we talking, I mean, and it may, I'm not saying with Westmont, it may be somewhere else. Maybe it's a court case. Maybe it ends up in court. What does that look like for you when you say stand firm?
I do believe we always have to be ready to hold a line where, and be ready if we would be called to court, just as we're preparing our students to face a Christian worldview, we as well need to do that. And I believe that we cannot stick our heads in the sand. And I know Dr. Smock does go to Harrisburg frequently to have that voice. So we need to be ready to do that as well by doing things like going to Harrisburg and lobbying and having a voice for what we stand for.
And that's good that you do have a voice, and that voice is integral to the discussion. Now, we're going to continue the discussion. Now, what we're going to get into when we come back is really what Common Core boils down to, is a philosophy of education. I want to get everyone's thoughts on that. We will return in a moment.
A government of laws and not of men. John Adams, 1774.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people. Didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Tune in from 7 to 8 a.m. every Friday morning to hear Gary Porter, Executive Director of the Constitutional Leadership Initiative, Phil Duffy, Constitutional Law Instructor at Widener University, Pastor David Whitney, Senior Instructor at the Institute on the Constitution, and their guests every Friday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. as they explore and help us understand the Constitution, not only as our foundational document, but also as it relates to our lives today. Right here on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.
Well, I'll tell you what, introductions this morning are quite a monumental task. Now, you should see the studio right now. I've got papers upon papers littering my control console here. We've got, joining us, the Reverend Dr. Ted Clater, who is Executive Director of the Keystone Christian Education Association. On the phone this morning, we have Dr. Rich Kelly, who's a Professor of Education at Summit University, joining us on the phone this morning. We have Tom Taylor, with his unique perspective on Common Core, originating with the International Baccalaureate Organization, with the UN in 1948. And we also have Dr. James Smock, better known as Doc, of Westmont Christian Academy, who is the Academy's administrator since 1987, and Gail Hallman, who has been with the Academy since 1987, as well as is Director of Curriculum and Staff Development. All of them joining us here at 1180 WFYL this morning to talk about Common Core. That's why I said introductions there. All right, it took the whole intro music for me to just get the introductions there. It was I got through it here. All right, so we're going to talk about philosophy of education. This is what Common Core really boils down to, and I'm interested to hear everyone's thoughts. Tom, I want to start with you as far as a philosophy of education, and there's a bird. That is, you don't know if you could hear that, but there is a bird that is deciding to be a little extra chirpy this morning in the studio. If you hear that, I hope you enjoy it while you're driving to work or wherever you're going this morning. But Tom, tell me about a philosophy of education, because that's what Common Core really gets to the heart of. That's why so many people have an issue with it. What do you think as far as we're looking at the International Baccalaureate Organization, right? 1948, started by the UN, they have a philosophy of education. What do you think a philosophy of education should be?
You're really nailing me. We have three doctors and Gail who are in education. I've never been in education. I'm just concerned about my five great-grandsons who are having to grow up in this world. So I guess I would say if you take God off the table, then you can legislate and control whatever you want. The thing that bothers me is that having somebody, at least in Washington, D.C. or in Harrisburg, telling our local teachers and educators what they have to teach and what they can't teach, to me, is just dead wrong.
And that may be the perspective of many who are listening right now.
Yeah, because in the last segment, we heard about a standardization of education and one size fits all, which is just wrong. We're a country of innovation and liberty and individualism, and the local parents, teachers, school boards should be able to teach the children the way they think they should be taught. And as I've said before, in the Constitution, the federal government should not be in education at all. And now they're certainly controlling it with billions of dollars.
Now, we have examples. We have examples of basically parents or individuals having direct influence in education with the Reverend Dr. Ted Clater, who's with the Keystone Christian Education Association, and, of course, Westmont Christian Academy, both Gail and Dr. James Smock. You are both kind of living that out. Now, while it may be good to make sure that our students are taught the same level, like if they move from state to state, while it may be good that they have the same quality of education from state to state, we, of course, don't want to see an imposition on our philosophy of education, which is really what you, Gail, and Dr. James, and then Dr. Ted Clater, you guys really embody. Now, I want to go to you, Reverend Dr. Ted Clater. Now, with the Keystone Christian Education Association, when you look at a philosophy of education, how important is that to how you approach Christian education? Not even just Christian education, but just education in general when you're looking at it from your perspective.
Well, the whole nature of any education institution, you have to ponder a mission. Why do we exist? So you got Rich Kelly. Rich Kelly is a education prof at a religious, Bible-centered Christian college. The state has some responsibility to make sure they are not a fly-by-night, bogus, handing out diplomas to illiterates, but the state needs to stay out of what they teach by way of the internal aspects of the curriculum. And the same thing would be true when I work with elementary and secondary or preschools. There is a mission, a uniqueness. Let's choose another example, Mike. I'm not a fan of Montessori education, But I believe that someone who is persuaded that Montessori education is right and proper should be able to do it. It certainly, through the generations, has not produced illiterate citizens. But where in the world is a Montessori approach going to fit in any state imposition that is one size fits all? There's clearly a hint that those that want a religious education should be able to have that. In contrast to those who want an atheistic education, they should be able to have theirs. So Tom is right on when he describes that there should be an enhanced place for individual responsibility and the fulfillment of family vision and mission. Institutional prerogatives need to be enhanced, not squelched.
Now, Dr. Rich, I want to go to you. This look at one size fits all, as you describe it. Is this really one size fits all when we're talking about Common Core, where, well, this is just something that it doesn't work for every type of student, or is this really a noble effort to try, and I mean as it stands now, not maybe as it was envisioned, but is it really a noble effort to just make sure that we all are learning the same thing?
I think really the premise at the beginning was to ensure that no matter where the student is, that student is receiving the same, not quality, but level of education. And we found that they weren't. That students, there were educational gaps, that there were gaps even as we take a look at socioeconomic, that type of thing. So these standards are supposed to help to shrink those gaps to ensure that no matter who you are, you're receiving the same type of education. Now, as we had said, it is a one-size-fits-all. So what about the student who may have certain disabilities where it's not going to happen? So what about those students? And to say that we can create a standard-based system that will prepare students for college and career, it depends on the career. Some of those standards don't need to be as high as somebody who is going into microbiology. So to me, to say, well, these standards will fit everyone no matter what they're going to go into, it's not possible.
So in an effort to try to make education uniform, what initially started as an effort to make education uniform, now we're looking at a haphazard approach to education, it would seem. We've got to head to a break. We're going to continue the conversation on how this really is with Common Core, how it really is an educational philosophy, and how we may differ as citizens into how we think our children should be educated. You could call in at 610-539-TALK. Man, I have that, even though we have so many people in. You could call in 610-539-TALK if you have a question for any of those on our panel. We will return after this.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Donald Trump leads the latest Republican presidential poll by 11 points over Scott Walker. It's in the Washington Post. A Des Moines Register editorial says Trump should drop out over his criticism of Mexicans and Arizona Senator John McCain. Saturday, he suggested McCain's only a war hero because he was captured, telling Fox's Bill O'Reilly last night.
Certainly, if there was a misunderstanding, I would totally take that back.
But he says Senator McCain should be doing more to help veterans. The Pope is meeting with 60 mayors or so from around the world for talks about human trafficking and climate change.
Pope Francis looking to encourage environmentally friendly city chiefs to keep up their efforts in an area where the Pope is also looking to make his mark. He's previously called climate change a global problem with grave implications, which hurts the world's poorest people the most.
Fox News Radio's Simon Owen. Fox News, we report.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. This week is City on the Hill week for us here at Pennsylvania Family Institute. If you haven't heard, City on the Hill is our life-changing Christian leadership and worldview camp for high school teens. And this year, we've got a top-notch group of kids attending from all across the state and some of the best worldview teachers on issues like life, marriage, and religious liberty that you'll find anywhere. We've been conducting this wonderful camp for more than 15 years now, and the fruit in the lives of the young people that attend is nothing short of amazing. If you'd like to help invest in the Christian leaders for the next generation, consider a tax-deductible contribution to Pennsylvania Family Institute and City on the Hill.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your tax-deductible contributions to fund our pro-family work. Please consider a generous contribution today. You can donate online at pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson, 1800.
You know, I have to tell you, I'm having a great time having this discussion on Common Core because I'm learning quite a bit from our panel. We've got five, count them, five joining us this morning to talk about none other than Common Core. We have Tom Taylor, a concerned citizen who has took on the liberty of educating himself on the origins of Common Core, namely the International Baccalaureate Organization started by the UN in 1948. International Standards for Education. We have the Reverend Dr. Ted Clater is Executive Director of the Keystone Christian Education Association. We have Dr. Rich Kelly, who is a professor at Summit University on Education. And we have Dr. James Smock, better known as Doc to the Westmont community at Westmont Christian Academy as administrator since 1987. And Gail Hallman, since 1987, has been with Westmont as well as Director of Curriculum and Staff Development, all joining us this morning to talk about Common Core. And Dr. Rich, you were just talking before we hit a break there about Common Core and how this really, this one-size-fits-all approach, the implications of that are not exactly savory. Let's just say that.
Right. There needs to be room within the standards that we are able to take what talents and abilities God has given each student and to really hone those. But then we begin to push everybody into these boxes, the standards, that have been set. And one of the things that, we were talking about a philosophical base for education, and what I hear so much as I talk to state and as we listen to federal people talking about the standards is that we want to ensure that our graduates are competitive in a global market. And that's not our focus as Christians for why we educate. We want to educate our students in taking what God has given them to help them to grow that so they can go out into this world and then to reach others for Christ, but also at the same time, whatever he's given them to do, whether they're in business, education, or whatever, that they will be honoring him. So the whole focus is so different. For the public school, it is to ensure that we're competitive in a global market. That's not our focus.
Now, for practicality's sake, what people are, you want to make sure that you're reaching, and this is, again, the practical aspect, you want to make sure that you're reaching education standards that there may be. You want to make sure that your students are well educated enough to go out into the world, at least from a Christian perspective. But I say that, though, and I also say this, that's not really the issue here, though. This isn't really about meeting education standards. This is about philosophy of education. That's what it boils down to. So that's almost like a non-argument that, well, you need to make sure that you're, when people may be advocating for something like this, you need to make sure that you're reaching these standards. Well, they already are reaching those standards. That's not really the issue. The issue is educating, even though you're meeting those standards, from a worldview, a Christian worldview, and having the freedom and the right to do that without imposition and without this one-size-fits-all approach, which even being competitive in the global marketplace, because that, like you just stated, Dr. Rich, is not the primary reason that you educate, that Christians educate, that we have so many joining us on the line and in studio this morning. It's not the primary reason that you all educate. It is so that students may find God's will in the world, that they may execute that. But that difference between philosophy is what we're dealing with here. I want to hear from the Director of Curriculum and Staff Development at a Christian school on this one. So, Gail, what say you as far as that philosophy when it comes to educating your students?
Well, I certainly agree with Dr. Kelly and his stance. There is one small area that I slightly challenge, and that is that I feel we do need to be competitive in the world as Christians. We do need to train our children to be a strong voice in this world. So in that, I do see in that philosophy of education, not only are we first and foremost teaching them to honor God and follow God's will for their life and be that light in the world, that salt that this world needs, but to do that with excellence. And I think to do that with excellence, we certainly need to have them strive to be competitive, to be wise, to be smart in academia, as well as certainly first and foremost God's word. But all of those things together, I feel we need to, that is certainly our goal. We have something called the Point Project at Westmont, and that is certainly the focus of our Point Project, and the heart of our Point Project is to help students to see their bents, their talents, their interests, and to develop them in every aspect, certainly spiritually first and foremost, but academically as well. So that's really where I see the heart of the philosophy being.
I would argue that educating from a Christian perspective, you would already have that ideal, because what is truth? What is knowledge? That famous question that Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Truth only comes from one place, especially from a Christian perspective, that's from Jesus Christ. So educating from that perspective, you are inherently getting more educated. You are getting a more excellent view, if you will, of the world in education. Of course, that's our view, and we want to be able to protect that and be able to have that right, which is why Common Core is so distressing. Tom, let's go to you here. Now, when we talk about, you know, how we as Christians may look at educating and what the purpose of Christian education is and excellence in meeting standards, you know, you said that you're concerned about your grandchildren. You have five grandchildren.
Great grandchildren.
Excuse me. Well, congratulations. Five great grandchildren, sir. That's quite an accomplishment. But tell me, you know, from a citizen's perspective, what do you think of these conversations we're having with these different educators around here?
Well, I think it's excellent, and I'm certainly learning a lot. And there's no question that parents and school teachers and administrators need to be on the same page and working together. My two youngest grandsons went to Christian school up through fifth grade, and I recall the number of times we were there to see a program or be involved in some way, and then they went off to public school, and we've not been invited to a single event or anything until graduation. So it seems to me that the public school's idea is to keep parents out of the equation, and we will teach your kids. And so there's not that combination of teacher and parent cooperating in the development of a child, which is, of course, the whole thing we've been hearing about in Christian education, which I think is so very, very important.
And quite frankly, that idea is nothing other than, I believe, is fascist. Taking that idea of, we're going to educate your children, and you have no say in it. Mm-hmm. And we are going to be the authority, and because that is the perfect breeding ground for indoctrination.
Well,
absolutely perfect.
I've heard it said that children come into a school system, say, 5 or 6 years old, and they are really loused up. And the school system has to fix that. What they mean is that they've been taught by their parents certain values, and so the public school system has to move in and eradicate that to make them students of the world, or however you want to phrase it. Make them all fit the mold.
Reverend, do you see this odds with the public philosophy of education versus the Christian philosophy of education?
There's in the arena of education, there is no escape that there is diversity. There is extreme variety between what institutions do. Even the very nature of the word Christian on the handle, the title of a school, does not mean much of anything anymore. So the variety that's out there, the parent has to be very, very savvy to understand that. Well, let's put it this way. I sit at Harrisburg, and probably every 5 to 8 years, there is a major political effort. We've got to change public education to fix the problems that are there. Common Core is just the latest attempt to fix, and frankly, we are already seeing Common Core come apart. The rate this world goes, they will come along with something fancier that's going to solve what Common Core couldn't solve. And the parent has to stick up for his own perspective in why he's raising his children, his own purpose of life, his own mission in educating his own children.
Quite frankly, the philosophy is the bedrock. Philosophy is the bedrock of everything that we do. And that is, if that, from wherever we start with that foundation, we are only going to go so high. And the real question next is the public standard, meeting the world standards, is that a lower bedrock, if you will, than the Christian standard? We've got to head to a break. Let's go ahead and address that question as we approach the last segment of the program. It's a new day, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. We'll return in just a moment. Okay.
Hello. Hello, I'm Gary Volpe of Volpe Enterprises. If you yell fire, you need help. You depend on a fire company to respond. Now it's up to us to give some help to them. Volpe Enterprises will host a fundraiser to benefit Worcester, Upper Gwynedd, and Center Square Fire Companies. There will be plenty for kids to enjoy, including a Moonbounce face painting, games, prizes, and a free lunch for all. August 1st from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Volpe Enterprises, 217 Church Road, North Wales. Visit govolpe.com for details.
Come join the newly forming Kiwanis Club. We will be meeting at the East Norriton Panera Bread on Germantown Pike. Kiwanis Club is focused on helping children in the community. Our next meeting will be held July 23rd, beginning at 7:30 a.m. in the community room. For more information, please contact Jen Vare at jvare8@yahoo.com. Please join us. Hope to see you there.
Hi, I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. In Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 talents warns us that not investing the master's talents because of fear is wrong. Doing nothing can be a sin.
So what are the consequences of doing nothing?
In this parable, the first thing we see is that the Lord is not pleased. The one talent is taken away and given to the one that has 10 talents. Finally, the unprofitable servant is cast into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Wow, that sounds harsh.
It certainly does. Now, none of us is a perfect steward, but if you feel like you are just coasting along and it's time to make some changes, please call our office at 215-723-8999.
MFB Wealth Management, 215-723-8999, on the web at mfbwm.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA SIPC.
Even in evil cultures led by arrogant and haughty rulers, take heart, because God gets the last laugh. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Though nations seek to establish governments without God, truth, and moral restraint, though evil rulers conspire against God and persecute his people because they remind them of their sin, we should not fret. The King of Kings sits in the heavens and laughs at their futile actions. He scoffs at their puny efforts to challenge his authority. And one day, he'll terrify them in his wrath. He'll rebuke them in righteous anger and in deep displeasure will say to them, I've given you my son, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Kiss him now and serve him with fear and humble submission, or you will perish. For I've authorized him to break you in pieces with a rod of iron. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, agreeing with God, the choice in life is clear. Reject Jesus Christ and perish, or trust him and be blessed.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Common Core, it inspires a variety of emotions when it is uttered. It either inspires hope or anger. Which side are you on? Well, let's see if we could all find the truth here this morning. 610-539-TALK, the number to call if you'd like to call in, 610-539-8255. Mike Levins here, and it's a new day, 1180 WFYL. Thank you for listening, if you're joining us, by the way. We have a panel of five this morning. We have Tom Taylor, who's joining us, concerned citizen, who has five great-grandchildren. He's done some of his own research into Common Core, its origins in the UN in 1948. We have Dr. Ted Clater, who's executive director of the Keystone Christian Education Association. We have Dr. Rich Kelly, professor in education with Summit University. And we also have Dr. James Smock and Gail Hallman, both working in an administrative task at Westmont Christian Academy since 1987. Both of you have been there since 1987. Dr. James Smock is the Academy's administrator, and Gail Hallman is director of curriculum and staff development, all joining us this morning. And where we left off from our last segment was talking about this back and forth between the Christian worldview of education and the world's worldview. There you go. The world's worldview. Not to reiterate something, right? But of education and how this is something that is really a divisive point. There is a difference between the Christian philosophy of education and the world philosophy of education. Dr. Smock, Doc,
yep,
as you were called. I thought that's a pretty cool. I always thought it was cool if someone was called Doc. Makes me want to get my doctorate just to be called Doc.
There you go.
But there you go. Now, tell me about this. Do you really see, you know, being an administrator at Westmont Christian Academy, do you see this at odds with the world's view of education versus a Christian view of education?
Yeah, I think, you know, back in the early 1960s when we decided to take, you know, the Bible out of public school, which prompted a strong element of Christian education. Not that there weren't Christian schools before that, but, you know, that prompted a separation of what the purpose of schooling was, you know. Christian schools, religious schools, went off in the side that said, we're training them for God's purpose. Public schools were training them for government purpose, you know, and that's the two directions, and it's a philosophical, you know, barrier that we struggle with, and the two don't blend well, you know, and because we as believers, followers of Christ, have kind of stepped away from the government arena and left our, you know, selves open, I guess I should say, to challenges, we are now getting back and saying, oh, we're in trouble because of what the world, so to speak, is trying to push down our throats at times. We saw that with No Child Left Behind, outcomes-based education. Again, as Gail was sharing, it's cyclical. It keeps coming around. This is a new thing, you know, a common course. We have to be aware of it. It's not going to be around forever. There's going to be something new that will come down the pike, too, as well.
Yeah, and that's interesting, that cyclical take on things, that these, you're really just going to, it's going to come back, it's just going to look different, they're going to put some new lipstick on it, but that's basically it. Now, here's a question that we were really going to go into. Is the world's, and this is kind of almost a moot question, but are we basically saying that the world standard of education is not as high as a Christian standard of education? I want to hear from the director of curriculum and staff development at Westmont here, Gail.
I think absolutely the world standard's much lower than that of the view of the Christian school.
Now, now I want to get into the why. Why would you say that is the case? That's the important thing.
I think it goes back again to that philosophy. Not only are we educating students to know academically the sciences, the maths, the history, the language arts, all of the subject matter that we teach, but we're requiring that through a Christian worldview. So we're teaching them scripture in that. We're teaching them how to make a difference in the world. We're teaching them character. We're teaching them so much more than just the academic or the standards that are set forth. If we were to take the same test that the public school arena takes, I don't believe we would score the same as we would on the test that we take, the standardized test, because they test different things, very different things. And I believe the core of that goes back to we just educate to a higher standard.
When I drive through communities that are ravaged by drugs, whether that's downtown Philadelphia or wherever it may be, but when I look at communities that are very much suffering, okay, and quite frankly, those communities, the one thing is still going to be the gospel in those areas, even though there are churches in a lot of those communities. Mm-hmm. The one thing is going to be the gospel for those things. But when I see that, I go that education alone is not the answer. I think first and foremost, character development, which really the only true demonstration of that is in Christianity, is really the only way to get it. We've got about 3 minutes left here. I want to get to Dr. Rich here. We were talking. We were kind of raising this question at the end of our last break here. What is higher, the world standard of education and the or the Christian standard of education. We know that, you know, all of you Christians would probably say that the Christian standard is higher, but the why is the important thing. Dr. Rich, why?
Well, as has already been said, we're teaching them to live a biblical life. We're also teaching them how to critically think and problem solve from a Christian point of view, you know, which the world doesn't do that. So the education we are providing for our students is of a higher level. And, you know, let's face it, many Christian schools, too, when they take a look at the standards, they're saying, well, we already do that. So Christian schools have been doing it for a long time, and the public school at this point is just trying to catch up. But the whole issue boils down to what makes us our type of education better is God. It's that Christian worldview that we have, and that it's worth everything that parents put into sending their kids to a Christian school.
I'm amazed at how intricately simple, I like to call it, that the gospel is. It infects every area of our life and truly is the answer to all of our problems. Reverend, I would like to end with you. We've got about a minute left in the program today. Final thoughts as we're wrapping up the discussion today.
Well, Rich, I guess I'd come back, or Mike, I'd come back to maybe one parallel that parents need to be observant. We are a culture that believes historically on compulsory attendance at school. Things like Common Core or state impositions shifts that from every child has to go to a place where they have the potential to learn, and it is changing from compulsory attendance to compulsory education. That there's more and more push that you must learn it from a philosophical foundation consistent with what government wants us to think. That is a huge shift, and parents need to be savvy to it.
Well said, sir. Well, that concludes our discussion today on Common Core in the program. Thank you all for joining us, by the way, and thank you for listening. Remember, no matter what happens tomorrow, the day after that, or even what happens later today, the answer to all things, whether it's Common Core, education, the nation, I don't care what it is, Jesus Christ our Lord. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, 7 to 9.
This is Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, and I want to invite you to listen to our new daily live call-in program, Stand in the Gap Today, each Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL. There's never a shortage of topics surrounding how our faith and freedom are being attacked on every front. This program will equip Christians to stand up for truth and to impact our culture for Christ rather than just being an idle bystander. Join this battle for truth and listen to Stand in the Gap Today every Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.